listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Now that we are sufficiently well-oiled on gluten-free inebriants, I think we're ready to start the show.
This beer's not good.
No,
Cosmic Slop, the podcast, returns to the electronic airwaves of your headphones or wherever you might choose to listen to your digital media.
This beer tastes like candy.
That one's super sweet. Good evening to you.
Hey.
Whatever time of day it might be, I'm Chuck.
I am Joel.
And we went and found some music that we like, and we thought you might like it, so
sure.
We're going to play it, because it's just that simple.
Sharing is caring.
That's true. Don't hoard the good stuff. You share the good stuff.
No.
And we're going to start with, you know what? Go figure. We keep wandering further into the 90s.
There's something about
the 90s is old music.
something about the mid-90s that acts as an effective bridge to the music of other eras. I don't know. I think that, well, a lot of people our age were making music that was reminiscent of the stuff that they grew up listening to.
Every generation,
which we grew up listening
exactly.
to, and that's why we like it.
Every generation throws a hero up the pop charts, and they often find out that they were listening to other people, and you know, your influences. That's how I start finding out about music I like, is finding out what someone I like listened to, and listen to that, and check it out.
And very few people wore their influences on their sleeve and or listened to more crap growing up than Matthew Sweet.
True.
Not a lot to do in Nebraska except sit and listen to records, and then you'd turn that into a nostalgic yet forward-looking pop career.
He had a nice stretch in the mid-90s there, in which he had about 2-3 hit records and some hit singles, and is on the verge of becoming really super huge, but then did not. And as they say in the stereotypical music biographies, he continues to record and release things to this day. Without
mostly,
any reference.
Mostly in a cover band with Susanna Hoffs. And,
true.
Yeah.
She of the Bangles and he of Matthew Sweet doing cool stuff together.
But here we turn to his 1995 LP. That's long playing record to those of a certain age or past a certain age. Altered Beast, the kickoff track Super Baby, which is pretty awesome.
It rocks, and we're going to play it for.
He uses
a lot of guitar
trickery on this one.
Yes, there's Frippertronics.
It's more frippery, just in the
lowercase
in the sense
F.
of embellishment. But he makes a lot of noise with his git fiddle.
All right, then make with the rock and Matthew Sweet
Super Baby
on Cosmic Slop
the podcast.
Yeah.
where is that record?
Man, you just kind of lost control at the end there, didn't you? It's like, oh, my fingers, they're going too quickly.
Oh, the frets were flying. Mm-hmm. That was Elliot Randall and a tune called Brother People. It's from 1970. And he's a curious dude.
A little fellow with a guitar.
Yep. He's an American, but he did well in Britain, hanging out with sort of Brits, discovering American blues and, mm-hmm. and, you know, sort of a guitar slinger, but there's something else happening in there. We'll talk about what became of his career after that. But on this record in 1970, there's something kind of gut bucket and funky going on. It's not just... you know, pop guy plays blues riffs in a sort of, mm-hmm. you know, Hendrix-y way. There's a little bit of that, but that one had a Meters feel to it.
He's like Eric Clapton without the heroin. He's got, there is some energy and life to his up-tempo and
Chuglin?
Yeah, his up-tempo Chuglin and mm-hmm. his skillful guitar stylings. And, Here's the deal about Elliot Randall, and on this record, which is a white label. Hey, let's tell everybody about this artist that we signed, and we want to sell some records. And mm-hmm. God only knows who this guy is.
Hey, Clapton may be God, but on this album cover, Elliot Randall walks on water.
There he is. Everything See? You always wanted to know about Elliot Randall, but were afraid to ask, is how it's posed on the cover of this promotional album. But it does not tell us anything about Elliot Randall's later career, which includes.
Well,
a couple years later,
yeah,
playing iconic guitar solos
for Steely Dan.
Yeah,
you know, Reelin' in the Years, dun, 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 dun. That's him. The whole solo, mm-hmm. the crazy thing, that's him. He played on Gene Simmons records. He played on the song Fame,
mm-hmm. from the film
yes.
Fame, not Fame by David Bowie.
Correct,
because that's Dr. Winston O'Boogie and Mr.
Carlos
himself,
and Carlos Alomar.
Carlos Alomar.
But Elliot Randall also played guitar on. He was asked to join and be the music director for the Blues Brothers. John Belushi said, "You're awesome. Will you do this?" And he said, "No, thanks.
No, thank you." No.
He was asked by David Paich and one of the Picaros, "Would you please be a founding member of Toto with us?" To which he said, "Thanks, but no thanks." Mm-hmm. He's kind of laid low. He likes being a session guy.
He refused a lot of big people
mm-hmm.
to maintain his studly isolation from the vagaries of the music biz. And he did a lot of commercial work. He worked on a lot of jingles and things, and also was a gunslinger for hire for various other groups.
Yep. And in 2009, when Steely Dan, the duo, came to play in London, he joined them on stage and played, note for note, the Reelin' in the Years guitar solo, and the crowd went nuts.
Because it being a Steely Dan crowd, they knew who this anonymous guy with the guitar was when he walked
yes,
up on
apparently
stage.
Apparently,
Randall, everybody.
That's the guy. Only at a Steely Dan show can people announce an obscure studio musician
right.
is coming to the stage, and people go, "Yes, the original guy on Vibes."
That's right. He has that one skill that they utilized on this, and I said utilized as opposed to used, on this one single, and boy, howdy, it changed the face of music forever.
But at the beginning of the Steely Dan career.
Yeah, speaking of Steely Dan.
We'll play some.
Yeah, we're going to play something right now.
But one of the few Steely Dan songs that has not been anthologized or memorialized or box-setted or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They did some very early singles before they had hits and with another guy singing.
Well, a single. And they worked on some soundtrack records.
Mm-hmm. That Barbara Streisand song that they wrote and mm-hmm. she recorded, that was
correct.
Prior to their own hits.
But in 1972, before anything,
mm-hmm.
New property, the record company decided, hey, we're going to put out a single. And the A and B side of that single, Dallas and Sail the Waterway,
mm-hmm.
According to to Fagan and or
Becker? It was Stinko.
Yeah, Stinko, quote unquote, Stinko.
Stinko. That's why that stuff's not being re-released. It's Stinko.
But Steely Dan's first single as Steely Dan. The A side is Dallas, and that's what we're going to play right now. It's an interesting song, and it sounds like Steely Dan, sort of.
The lead singer's gay name is David Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that means he's the lead singer on Dirty Work, right?
Right. Yeah, he's
a true, genuine.
He's the guy who's not Donald Fagen.
Right.
The one who can sing, and he is used to great effect here, and it's got all that Steely Dan stuff going on. It's mm-hmm. just a song that you don't know because it never gets played because it was never re-released
from 1972. It's Steely Dan's Dallas on Cosmic Sloth.
The podcast.
I lived in no holy house but the Grand Hotel. The back streets of this old town I know so well. And I drunk in no holy wine save Muscatel. And now, my friend, I got to go to tell everyone I know. Should have been at the palace yesterday. Bye, bye, Dallas. Got to go. And I remember when they told the song. Right now I'm wondering where the good times are gone.
Yeah.
That wasn't that sweet.
It's really sweet. It's actually moody and dark, that the cello dragging across the midst of that seemingly
and,
pop song.
Angular and odd, and it's a song which was a hit as recorded by somebody else. Spanky and Our Gang in late 1967 had a hit with Sunday Morning, but that's the song performed by its composer, Margot Gurian,
off of the
Take a Picture LP from 1968.
She was a jazz professional, trained jazz musician and a designer for the Impulse Jazz label, who had really cool designs, to be honest.
And a fantastic songwriter, and somebody who has in latter days seen a resurgence because record collectors sometimes have their own record labels and reissue things that they like.
Yes, it was that Franklin something or other person, the pop guy in L.A. What the hell? Franklin Castle Records, with Linus of Hollywood was the guy behind that. And he got to say, I struck a deal, and this record should be seen by more people. And so it winds up on a little boutique label. But it does put it into a greater circulation.
Yeah, because the Take a Picture LP... its original 1968 release, impossibly rare because nobody bought it. It wasn't promoted properly. Gurian didn't tour, and it was lost to the sands of time.
Well,
and
we've said
99.9% percent of things that get lost to the sands of time are there for a reason. But this one was undeservedly so.
Well, we've said this before about other artists, that some obscure things are one person's Rosetta Stone is somebody else's failed career, and you know, I guess that didn't work out. I'll go build houses, and meanwhile, there's somebody else who goes, my whole thing is because of you and your weird little record, and you know, it's
someplace,
unintended effects
somewhere, somebody's parents bought that record when they were kids and never listened to it, and it sat around the house, and then their children stumbled upon it, put it on the turntable, the built-in hi-fi downstairs, and oh my goodness, what is this noise, and why was this never popular, and nobody can answer that question.
That's how I feel about the entire Stampeders record, or perhaps Dang Me by Roger Miller, although that actually was a hit. We turn now from
sweet upstate New York jazz of the late 60s to searing acid funk of the early 70s.
Also a source of many, many samples. You will notice it right off the bat from all sorts of contemporary rap and hip-hop samples.
Group called the Skull Snaps.
They have their roots in the group The Diplomats that recorded over a couple decades beforehand. But when they got together and formed as Skull Snaps, they made some heavy, groovy stuff, and like lots of good vinyl hunters, and you know, a lot of DJs and producers have tapped this record for its awesome drum breaks and rhythms and stuff like that.
Well, it's as though it was composed specifically to be broken down into component parts and turned into something else. It's a very groovy. The entire album is really cool, but it's a new day.
It's very recognizable, very high profile.
And it's a badass song on its own.
Yes, 1973 is the year. It's called It's a New Day, and these are Skull Snaps. The Skull Snaps?
The Skull Snaps.
The Skull Snaps.
The Skull Snaps.
All right. Right here on Cosmic Slot.
The podcast.
Place for you in line. Be black and blue, 'cause we need.
I can hear, I can visualize all the 80s fashion to go with the stylish sounds of Blancmange.
I would imagine, yes, there was some high hair involved there, and much like the limited warranty high hair of the half a decade later. But no, Blancmange, a UK pop duo, had a substantial chart hit, number 7 in the UK in 1982 with that song, Living on the Ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to own that record on cassette.
Yep.
That's how 80s it is.
That's how 80s. It was either vinyl or cassette, and by gosh, cassettes were compact and handy. Mm-hmm. You could play them in your Walkman.
I believe I purchased it at a waterbed store up in Brainerd, which is a place
that...
What
the hell is Blancmange being sold at a waterbed store in Brainerd for?
Oh, let me tell you, Chuck, because that waterbed store had a rack in the corner of import cassettes from Mexico or Spain or something. They had weird little off-brand things, and there was a lot of new wave to be had.
And the song.
So my $7.99 went to purchase that.
So the song we heard was from 1982. When would you have purchased it? Like
in 1983 or 84. Yeah, and and the reason that we're even playing the song in the first place is that it was brought to our attention, kind of in a sideways sort of way, by our old friend Rory. He sent us an email not terribly long ago asking us if we could help identify a couple of anonymous song snippets that he had recorded off of the radio on cassette,
25 years
on another
ago.
Cassette 25 years ago. And since I was listening to the same radio programs that he was listening to 25 years ago, I knew exactly what he was asking. So
is this the British show that was on KBAM?
Yeah, there were the two new wave shows. One was on Friday night, and one was on Sunday night. One was Radio 1, and one was Ready, Steady, Go. I can't remember which one was on which night.
Right.
But I was able to identify these things that had been driving him crazy for 25 years within the space of 30 seconds.
Very nice.
Ah, hooray! You know, usually when we get stuff, you know, anonymous song snippets from people, it's like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
I wish I knew.
And sorry, can't help you.
No, this time around, I actually was able to deliver and felt like a champ.
Cassettes, the power of cassettes and taping things that are, you know, grabbing that snippet. I did the same thing, except I was recording bits of Dr. Demento or the Top 9 at 9 off WLOL in the early 80s. And
oh, you were one of those radio nerds.
I was. I wasn't a guy that wrote down the charts. A lot of people did that if you're really into like the Casey Countdown stuff. Mm-hmm. I just wanted the song, but the weird part was sitting there with our Marantz tape deck waiting, you know, holding on the pause button so you could release it very fast.
No, I had a Sony double cassette boombox. It was a compact little thing. It was made out of solid steel. That thing was rock solid. And I'd listen to the quote-unquote college radio, the alternative music of the day, the new wave shows. On my Fridays and Sunday nights were spent in my room with my finger on the pause button waiting for a song that sounded like something I would enjoy. And I would record those songs on the hand-me-down 15-minute or 10-minute on each side answering machine cassettes that my dad brought me from work.
When I was quite young, like 12 or so. Oh, nice, high-quality cassettes.
Yeah,
thanks,
I know.
Thanks, Dad.
Oh, God, they sounded terrible even when they were
fresh
and new, because they weren't fresh and new. Worked. They were used answering machine
tapes. I can remember announcing to my brother and vice versa that, some song. I got Working in a Coal Mine by Devo 3 times on this cassette. it was like hoovering up as many recordings of it as you could or something. It was
for no particular reason. I recorded the very first time that Careless Whisper by George Michael, the first solo single by the lead singer of Wham! UK, was played on Twin Cities Radio.
Nice. I think it was my brother recording KFAI late at night is where we first heard No Sellout by Malcolm X.
Oh, wow.
And some other really trippy late night stuff. Yeah. Oh, and Irresistible Bitch by Prince. First time I've heard that was late night.
Malcolm
on KFAI.
X, No Sellout. Who was that? That was...
I have to look that up.
That was...
No Sellout.
Malcolm X, No Sellout.
Anyway.
Yeah, that wasn't... God, who was that?
While we continue, while Joel tries to ponder that question about where music on cassettes may have come from, we don't care whether it's CD, vinyl, mini discs, reel-to-reels, or digital downloads. It's... all fun about what you hear. It's what it does for you. Music's got power, and that's the cool part, and that's what brings us to keep hunting, and hopefully you enjoy coming back around and listen to us share what we think is interesting.
Because with us, there's no skullduggery, no flim-flam,
no
sellout.
No.
Here we are.
Just genuine love and sharing and giving.
So swing your browser, won't you, to CosmicSlop.com?
Yep, so you can go and get the latest shows from CosmicSlop.com.
Because we have a long history in radio, and there's lots of playlists for those obsessive train spotters out there who want to see what we played on the air in 1999. You can go see that.
CosmicSlop.com will lead you over to Fancy Pants Gangsters, the folks that host the show and put up the RSS feed and things like that.
They do the heavy technical lifting, so we don't have to.
CosmicSlop.com will also lead you to our Facebook page, where you can join the group with 300 plus other people who really dig the music from a deep perspective, and
see their smiling faces in their profile pictures.
Yes,
and think, wow, they're just like me.
Look, there are my people.
These are my people.
I have
Hello,
found them.
My people.
Hello, my fellow travelers. I am Chuck.
I am Joel.
And we hope you'll join us next time. We've got something to go share and spin and talk about and go on and on and on.
Because things are going to get Christmassy pretty soon, I'm thinking.
Seasonal.
Yeah.
Anyway. Join us next time for the next Cosmic Slop.
The podcast.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.